Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily podcast on the Brooklyn Nets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Keep the trump blasting, toe tagging, I'm riding past them. Before you let them ride with the team, you got to ask them, who got snaps on the Petro? Keep it real, don't front, yo.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Nets podcast, your daily dose of Brooklyn Nets news, analysis, and interviews. I'm your host, David Wurzberger. Thank you very much for tuning in. Today, we're going to be talking that Nets-Knicks preseason game, the final preseason game for the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets lost 116-111, kept it pretty close until the end, but the Knicks did pull away. Now, I have on Brian Fonseca. He is from Nets Daily. He really knows his stuff, has been covering the team closely, going to practices, everything you'd ever want. He's going to come on. We're going to talk the preseason in general, the Nets team going forward. Sorry about not having an episode yesterday. We had a Skype problem, so unfortunately, it just didn't happen. Now, before we get to the interview, if you're enjoying the podcast, please consider subscribing and leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out. You can sponsor the Locked On Nets podcast by emailing us, lockedonnets@gmail.com. And submit your fan questions. We're happy to answer them. You could tweet those to @LockedOnNets, or the email was LockedOnNets@gmail.com. Now to our interview with Brian Fonseca.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Joining me now on the Locked On Nets podcast, Brian Fonseca. You can find this stuff at Nets Daily. He's covering the Nets really closely. He's going to games. Brian, thank you for coming on, man.
I appreciate you having me on, no doubt.
Now, we're supposed to be talking Nets-Knicks. The Nets lost. Sort of kept it competitive when their starters were in, but the Knicks just sort of came away with it at the end, final preseason game. But we both got distracted by the WNBA Finals, which I had one eye on it throughout that preseason game. I was only sort of half watching. And then, you know, we usually record these things after the game ends, but then it was like a tight game 5 minutes ago, so we had to put it off. That was
right.
A crazy finish, man.
Yeah, it was outstanding. And to see Candace Parker finally get her first, you know, WNBA championship after all this time, I've been watching her since I was younger, like little, so I could imagine how. That was such a great game and a crazy finish. And I actually do pay attention to the WNBA. I try to follow it, watch it, even though, you know, tonight I was also watching the Nets game. But, you know, and Ryan Rucco also was great on the call. I mean, a lot of great calls tonight. But that game was everything you want basketball to be, especially that ending. Great.
Yeah, it was insane. And afterwards, Candace Parker in the post-game interview saying this one's for Pat, talking about Pat Summitt, who passed away this year. And I've been covering the WNBA for a couple of seasons now. It's something you got to tune into if you enjoy basketball. There's nothing else going on this summer. And you get down to the playoffs and to see, like, the level of basketball. And just these finals were insane, man. Going down to the final elimination game and, like, clutch shot after clutch shot. I mean, the shot Christy Tolliver hit.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, even during the summer, I honestly did watch a little bit more WNBA basketball than I did Major League Baseball. And I'm not even saying that as an exaggeration. It's just like, you know, they have good basketball there. So, you know, a lot of people have been sleeping on it for years, and it is what it is.
Absolutely. I'm going to pivot away from it, though, because we can go on for the next 15 minutes about that game. And we're supposed to be doing a Nets podcast. This game was fun. The Nets were sort of competitive in it. It sort of told the story of past preseason games and probably the regular season where the starters actually look like some NBA players that can, you know, put up some points and really stay in games. But then once the bench comes in, totally different story.
Yeah, I mean, it is preseason. They did finish 1-5.
Yeah, got to preface it with that.
Yeah, they did finish 1-5. If I'm a Nets fan, I wouldn't freak out about it because, one, I mean, it's preseason, but more so, you kind of know what you're expecting from this team, right? Like, nobody's really expecting this team to necessarily be world beaters. The Knicks are better on paper and pretty much across the board. The Nets were competitive today, but as you said, the bench is just a big question mark. And Kenny Atkinson, it's going to take a while. I mean, this is a lot of this team is new. You're still trying to find the pieces that work, and their bench, you know, hasn't really played that well in preseason so far. So you got to get guys out there. Some guys are getting experience. You hope that it gets better as the season goes on if you're a Nets fan, but you did see some encouraging things, like Jeremy Lin's three-point shooting continues to be red hot. Brook Lopez is trying to stretch the four. He actually took 4 three-pointers today and hit one of them. So you have some good and some bad, and we'll see what happens when season starts. But overall, I wouldn't be totally down if I'm a Nets fan. I'd be a little bit concerned about what they're doing with their bench, but we don't even know who's in the rotation just yet. We have an idea, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that is preseason. I didn't mention that. After every prior preseason game, you know, it's preseason, guys. You can't jump to any real conclusions. But it's funny for me with this bench. I looked at it on paper before the game started and said, oh, you know, maybe it won't be too bad. But then, like, just seeing the names actually out there on the court, the lineups, like, not even how they played, just exactly who the Nets were running out there, I sort of swallowed my words. I was like, Joe Harris, Justin Hamilton, pick and rolls, that might be a problem.
Yeah, but a lot of guys are going to get their chance that you haven't really heard their name called prior to this season. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be opportunities for everybody, probably.
That's for sure. And you talk to a lot of Nets fans on Twitter on the daily, and I want to ask you, I asked this in a past podcast, but I want to pick it up. What are some of the preseason overreactions you've seen from the fan base? And let's talk about them a little bit.
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. I've seen plenty of that. Preseason overreaction, probably to Bogdanovich not starting, bit of an overreaction. That's one that I've seen that some Nets fans are complaining that he's not starting where they feel like he should be, and I think eventually he will. But let's say he doesn't. He can thrive in a six-man role, kind of come in, play 26, 28 minutes a game, give you maybe 15 points or so, 14 points a game. He'll be the best scorer in your second unit, probably by far. So I don't think it's a negative that he comes off the bench for Randy Foy, and he might even finish some games in that role, which is more important than starting. And another one, you know, with that comes the overreaction of Randy Foy starting as well. And just overall, like, guys have been really hard on Chris McCullough, for example. And Kenny Atkinson talks to us about this all the time, about how this is really his first, because
this is his rookie year, essentially.
Yeah, his time was cut short. Like, he didn't even play that much in college. Last year, we know about the injuries, and this is his first, like, his training camp and preseason. So, and he's still very, very young, very raw as well. But he has so much talent where it's like, you know, you can see it. It's there. He can stretch the floor, rebound, all these things. So, yeah, those are some of the overreactions that I've seen. And, you know, everybody just needs to relax, you know, take it easy. It's only October, I like to say that, and, you know, they'll be okay, hopefully, but they'll be okay.
Yeah, so I brought up the Bogdanovich thing a couple of games ago, and as I was doing it, I sort of talked myself into it. I like that Foy is a bit of a playmaker, get the ball out of Lin's hands a bit. He can throw a little pocket pass in the pick and roll.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like the idea of Bogdanovich sort of being that lead scorer off the bench. That could be a really good role for him. And McCullough, I mentioned a lot, man. I can't wait till he gets in the D League and really gets like 30 minutes a night, 32, and really gets a chance to get in the flow of games again and develop his stuff. I think Nets fans really have to be patient about that guy.
let's wait until like midseason next year before we label him anything.
Yeah, exactly. These guys, you know, and Kenny Atkinson, he really, I wrote about this, I think it was Sunday. He really loves the D-League. He wants to utilize it for his young players, for guys coming back from injury. So I would expect to see McCullough spend some time there. And it's not a bad thing, because if he's on the NBA roster right now, he's probably, as you can see in this last game of preseason, he'll probably come in at the end if he comes in at all. Whereas guys like him and Isaiah Whitehead, they could play in the D-League and they could get these 30, 32-minute games, get a lot of experience, and then come up and they're ready and they've been in game action. Guys like Yogi Ferrell will also benefit from that. Caris LeVert, when he's ready to come back and they're, you know, gradually bringing him back. So all these guys, all these young players that they have, they could benefit from stints in the D-League. I wouldn't look down upon it at all.
Oh, for sure. I spent the whole episode on the importance of the D-League and how, you know, how it'll work out for the Nets. Let me ask you, well, so something I noticed about this game that I liked, it seemed like in past preseason games, Lopez was adjusting to the offense. And again, don't want to jump to conclusions. He could look fine in the regular season, but he was adjusting, getting into the flow of the motion offense. And it felt like early this game, Atkinson was running more traditional stuff that Lopez likes, post-ups, you know, getting down low and sort of letting him work. And I like that, and I hope Atkinson will go away from the motion stuff at certain points during the season just to get Lopez his stats. And the reason is I want that trade value to go up. I feel like that's a fair ask.
Yeah, you got to feed, you know, you got to find ways to feed your best player on the floor, really. You could tell Jeremy Lin, he's probably going to thrive in this offense. But even so, Brook Lopez is really your go-to guy. He's your proven 20-point scorer at night. He can pretty much get that into sleep. And you got to find, you know, they'll creatively find, I assume, different ways to get him the ball, get him involved so then he can score, you know, on the block, outside, you know, just overall be comfortable. And this whole thing is really just starting. This is a new system. This is new coaching staff. And a lot of these players are new. You know, everybody just needs to get adjusted to each other. And it's going to take time. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but it's going to take some time, maybe a lot of time for, you know, Jeremy Lin and Brook Lopez to get adjusted to one another, and then, you know, all these moving parts, all these guys, as you can see, you have a lot of guys that can play multiple positions as well. So you really need just everything to gel, and it's going to take some time.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned Jeremy Lin. I just want to put this out there. I'm using my podcast time to throw out a hot take, and I already know you're going to agree with me because you know your stuff. Jeremy Lin is the best point guard in New York. Can we stop with the Derrick Rose stuff? Like, he hasn't been an average point guard in years. And, he could be getting healthy and he could have a good season in New York. But they're really similar point guards if you think about it. And there's no area in their games where Lin isn't better.
You know, and even with the three-point shot now as well.
Easily. Lin was a better three-point shooter before he has this new form.
Yeah, and I, you know what, Brandon Jennings is also in that conversation. I actually tweeted out earlier, and I've tweeted about this throughout the preseason, how comfortable Brandon Jennings looks in that Knicks offense. And with everything going on with Derrick Rose right now, I would start Brandon Jennings, and Derrick Rose would be my sixth man. Which is not a knock, but Brandon Jennings is...
You're not the only one saying it. Robin Lundberg's been catching a flack for that.
You know how Knicks fans are on Twitter. But going back to Jeremy Lin, I mean, he really looks like he's going to benefit probably the most from just Kenny Atkinson being here and in this offense. He put up 24-10 with 8 turnovers today, but...
just whisper that with 8 turnovers.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, the guy's got to get adjusted to his speed, his style of play. But I think he's really, like, I tweeted this out, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where I was asked on Twitter by a Nets fan, what kind of season, more or less, what kind of season do you think Jeremy Lin's going to have? And he had him at 20.8 assists a game, and I'm like, hey, I'm not too far. I'm actually at, like, 18.7. So I could see him putting, like, all-star-ish numbers up. I do think he's really going to have his best season. And not just in preseason, but even before, like, when they first acquired him, it seemed tailor-made for him with Atkinson here and all these parts. Like, you know he's going to be the second, you know, the second fiddle to Brook Lopez, and at times, at many times probably, he's going to be the go-to guy in this offense throughout the season.
Yeah, he's definitely set to have a pretty good season. I worry about the fans getting a little too hype about it because it's just like, you know, he'll put up good stats on a bad team.
It's going to happen with Jeremy Lin. It's going to happen.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, in the end, it's sort of, you know, what does it really mean, right? I want to see him do this for like a good, like a playoff team, like a contending team. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the final cut. So the Nets are going to have to cut down the roster. They just waived, I believe they waived Budinger, Iggy, and Bo Beach. I'm pretty sure I got that. Oh, no, they waived Gutierrez and a couple
Gutierrez
others.
Was the fourth one. They waived those four. They need to cut one more.
Right. So it's basically going to be down to, like, Yogi Ferrell and Anthony Bennett, realistically, right?
Yeah, I mean, Chris McCullough, outside chance, but I doubt that because it was your first time last year.
Yeah, there's
you know
no
what
way.
I mean? Like,
I wouldn't bet on
but
that.
The way I'm looking at it is, even from the beginning, I'm like, you know what? Yogi Ferrell could really make this team. And when they announced the first four cuts, I felt like that was obvious. You know, Pierrez, all those guys.
Yeah.
And then getting to where we're at now, I found it interesting that, Ferrell's still alive here. He didn't play that much today. Anthony Bennett played a lot more. I think Anthony Bennett, if, you know, given the option of either or, I think they'll keep Anthony Bennett and, you know, try to have Ferrell in Long Island throughout the season because they did.
That looks like that's the direction they're going in.
He has a partially guaranteed deal. I think he's the only one left with a partially guaranteed deal only. But I think Anthony Bennett, he's shown you enough to make you think, like, all right, we can work with something here. And, you know, Yogi Ferrell, undrafted rookie, is probably going to wind up in the D-League. And you know what? He may play his way into their future plans because, I mean, hey, he can really shoot. There's some Net fans already think he could be a solid backup point guard. That has yet to be seen, obviously, because it's only October. But I like Yogi Ferrell. So, I mean, it'd be nice if they keep him around. If they in fact cut him, I mean, crazier things have happened, right? But
yeah,
it seems like he's going to be the guy, and they'll probably announce that. You know, they have to announce that like now, pretty much, like very soon. So
yeah,
I mean, we'll see what happens with that.
So here's my take, and I believe they're going to stick with Bennett and hope Yogi goes down to the D League. But there's a risk in that Yogi can go play elsewhere, overseas, what have you.
Exactly.
And for me, like, I'm not on the Yogi Ferrell train. I'm not, oh, he's definitely going to be this and that. Like, I'm not sure. He played okay in, like, preseason minutes that were all in the fourth quarter in blowouts. You know, I'm not at all impressed. But I've sort of given up on Anthony Bennett, which may not be fair, but that's where I am. And so you look at Bennett, who's older than Ferrell, and I, you know, just doesn't carry the same amount of baggage, you know. I think I'd rather the Nets just sign Yogi Ferrell and absolutely have him, right? Because you risk waiving him. Maybe he doesn't want to go down to the Long Island Nets. Maybe he wants to go pursue overseas or something.
Yeah, or like you alluded to, another NBA team could just come in and snatch him up. Like, hey,
sure.
we want a young point guard. Yeah, I mean, Yogi Ferrell's really, he's a guy that could have easily been drafted in that latter part of the second round. He was one of the better undrafted players when the Nets got him. There's a reason they gave him a partially guaranteed deal to begin with. So it's just down to those two. I mean, again, I think Anthony Bennett showed you enough where maybe you feel like, hey, this is new. Maybe you can get the most out of him. But I could also see your side of it where it's like, you know, I'm not really sure. Like, maybe this is just what he is. But I can also see that side of it, too.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, they're gonna make an educated decision. They know better than all of us. You know, they're in the practices all the time. They're gonna make an educated decision. I'll be a little more surprised if it's Bennett, obviously, but I'd understand it. And I think some Net fans will be like satisfied with that because some Net fans I've grown to see that they do like Yogi Ferrell. So.
Yeah, I only have a couple more things, and then I'm going to let you go. But Grievous Vasquez, can we just, guys? He's coming off an ankle injury. He didn't play all year. Can we chill with him too? Talking about the overreactions. He's a good point guard. Let him sort of, you know, get back into actually playing. He hasn't played basketball in a while. And, you know, this is just preseason. I think he's another guy that Nets fans are sort of going a little crazy over.
Yeah, Atkinson likes him also. He called him, he's basically, and he hit the nail on the head. He's like, hey, this guy's a 6'6 quarterback who could deal for the defense, essentially. I mean, today,
do you think he could play for the Jets?
I think we'll see what Geno Smith gives him on Sunday. But I think
are you Team Geno? Can I get in? Are you Team Geno?
Oh, absolutely. Because I could get into it forever. But objectively, yeah. Yes, I am. I'm a proponent of him getting a fair shake that he hasn't gotten. We could do a whole other podcast on that.
Of course.
Rivas Vasquez had 8 assists in 17 minutes today. You know, like, he didn't start off well, and he hasn't been, like, great in the preseason. But, you know, again, he's coming off the injury. They've been easing him back, easing Bogdanovic back as well. Also doing the same thing with Levert. Levert, by the way, like, Grievous Vasquez is obviously here on a short-term deal. You don't expect that he'll be here longer than probably this season. You don't know that, but with LeVert coming off injury, he's probably not going to give you, you know, a lot this season as a rookie coming off the foot surgeries. But next season, where he has a full training camp, where he's active and healthy, you hope maybe, you know, Vasquez is not in the picture. So I say all that to say he's pretty much a stopgap at the backup point guard position, and he's a good one because he's proven in this league, like, hey, he can get assists, he can run an offense. It's just a matter of, you know, people are concerned about him defensively. And, you know, coming off an ankle injury is not the easiest way to play defense. So we'll see. Everything just needs to kind of gel and grow, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Let me just – oh, man, I can't – I'm trying to pull up updated preseason stats on Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. I'm not sure what he's shooting from deep. He's made, like, 3 threes all preseason or something, 3 or 4, if I'm remembering correctly.
He was 1 of 2 today. That I do know.
It's 1 or 2 today. I'm trying to find this percentage because I feel like it might be in the 20s or 30s. But I'll just say, I'll ask you real quick. Is his three-point shooting a fluke? Is it something real? Is it a totally unfair question? Because it kind of is because it's preseason.
Well, it's something he's definitely working on. Because I remember during training camp when I was at Nets practice, there was a couple of times, like back-to-back, where he was the last Net on the floor, and over an hour after, you know, practice was done for the day, he was there just shooting, just taking jump shots, mid-range jump shots, three-point jump shots. He's really working on it. So is his three-point shooting as a threat legit? He'd probably even tell you, like, you know, he's still working on it, maybe not to the level, but he's trying to get more and more comfortable with it. So
I'm gonna butt in real fast. Apparently, it's 40%.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to take those shots. Like, he's working on it because he's going to take those shots. And if he does, that adds another dimension to this offense that they're going to need, especially if he's going to be their starting small forward, which it looks like he is.
Yeah, this is a minuscule sample size in the preseason. But, you know, I think we're allowed one thing to get irrationally hyped over. For a lot of people, that's Jeremy Lin. That's totally fine. I'm going to do it over Rondae's three-point shooting. I'm calling it right now, averaging 40% on the season. I'm going to look really stupid at 82 games for now. Any parting thoughts, Brian?
Just overall, just Net fans, you know, be patient. Let your team grow. And we understand, like, the expectations for this team. Like, there aren't any for a lot of people. And, you know, Bogdanovic said Sunday at practice, he's like, I like it that way. You know what I mean? Kind of eases things, and we're allowed to just basically play our game. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially, I guess, the feeling that's shared there between guys on the team. And, you know, they'll probably be really relaxed, sneak up on some teams. Maybe you'll see them get some more wins than they expect, and then maybe they're actually building this thing. But it's going to take time to really see who's going to emerge. And when you have a team team like this where you have a lot of guys who came from other, you know, just rotation guys and guys who didn't play that much, like Joe Harris and Hamilton and you know, Trevor Booker's expected to take a step forward. You know, you got all these guys, at least one or two guys have to, like, emerge, have breakout seasons. And if you get three or four of those, hey, maybe you're in business and maybe you're fighting for an eight seed. So we'll see. We'll see. It should be interesting. I think they'll be an interesting team if nothing else.
Well said, Brian. Thank you very much for coming on, man. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me. You can pretty much check my Twitter. That's Brian Fonseca, NY, BrianFonseca, NY as in New York. Instagram, same thing. Facebook, just kind of look up my name, and hopefully you'll find me. And, yeah, pretty much those places, and, yeah, I'll be around doing stuff.
Guys, you got to give him a follow. He's covering the Nets really well, really knows the stuff, as you just heard. Brian, thanks again, man. Have a good night.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Have a good one as well. And, you know, we'll be talking hopefully throughout the season.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a good weekend. I hope you enjoyed. Leave a 5-star rating on iTunes if you did. Really helps us out, and have a good one.
Let me get it one time. Fake the funk. Keep it real. Don't fake the funk. Let me see them hands high. Fake the funk. Keep it real. Don't fake the funk. Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.